Welcome to God Knows Where. I'm Brett Harris. I'm back from vacation, and I didn't open my computer or put pen to paper at all last week, but I did reflect on Palm Sunday over the past few days and what it means for us, and I revisited what I've said before on the Sunday that begins our Holy Week, so I figured I'd share it with you today as we inch closer and closer to Easter. New stories about healing will be back next week, I promise. And as we look at Jesus' example and celebrate his triumph over death, I think Barry Howard offers a pretty great look at how we can cultivate a worldview like the one Jesus held in a recent article he wrote at Good Faith Media. Check it out in the show notes. And don't forget to leave us a rating or a review wherever you listen. Helps other folks find the show. I hope you enjoy today's episode. It didn't have to be this way. A reading from Luke 19. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." It didn't have to be this way. That's a refrain we hear all too often, especially in the wake of completely avoidable tragedies like the ones we witnessed in Boulder and Atlanta just before Palm Sunday in 2021, or the horrific shooting at a Nashville school that we witnessed just prior to Palm Sunday last year in 2023, or the attack at a concert in Moscow last Friday, 2 days before this year's Palm Sunday, or really any of the other tragedies that we witness all too often, seemingly without ever learning anything or being willing to change what we do to keep them from happening. If we'd done this, or if we'd said that, or if we'd recognized this sign earlier, those folks who'd gone grocery shopping or to work or to school or to a show might have driven home and carried on with their lives. We can lament that it didn't have to be this way. As I read Luke's description of Jesus' arrival outside of Jerusalem and the weeping that followed, that phrase kept playing inside my head. It didn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. I kept hearing Jesus thinking or saying that to himself as he lamented that Jerusalem and her people were unable to see the possibility of peace or the new hope he'd been trying to bring them. These people, his people, who believed God called them to be different, to be set apart, to worship differently, to care for their neighbors and their community and God's creation differently, who had heard or read or experienced for themselves how mysteriously God had moved throughout time and space to free them from their captors, to save them from their enemies, to heal them from their pain, who rebuilt this very city that he was about to enter from the rubble and the ashes it was left in generations earlier. They couldn't see that the hope and renewal and reorientation he was offering them was not only possible, but present, and that he wanted them to help him make it possible. He knew it didn't have to come to this, him sauntering into Jerusalem on a colt to confront and be condemned by the powers and principalities who were afraid of someone who wasn't afraid of them. There could have been another way, but they couldn't overcome their fear, their doubt, their divisions to help him make it happen. And so, there he stood, weeping over them, weeping over Jerusalem. But I think he was also weeping over himself, wondering if there was more he could have done to help them see what was possible. Another parable he could have told, some more people he could have healed, maybe some more direct answers to their questions he could have offered. I also have to believe that he wasn't just weeping out of frustration, but also out of fear. I don't know that he knew all that would take place in the days to come once he entered the gates, and I kind of think it cheapens it all if he did. But I think he knew it wasn't going to be a fun week in the big city, and that he wasn't going to be the same after it was over. And like Jesus, when we get to the end of our ropes, it's easy to wonder what could have been or what could have been avoided. It's easy to weep over all that lies ahead, to fear an uncertain future, to lament what now must be because of what has been before. But as I kept reading Jesus' lament this week, I kept hearing another refrain. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way anymore. This story began to remind me, maybe because of my current perspective on it more than what we read on the page, and certainly despite its dire warnings, that it's not only in the past that things could be different. They can be different from now on. That's all Jesus has been trying to tell us. Our past failings and shortcomings can be prologue to a new hope. That's what Jesus has said to anyone who will listen since he took the scroll of Isaiah back in the first parts of Luke's gospel and read about coming to restore sight to the blind and proclaiming release to the captives. That's what he's meant every time he's begun some remarks by saying, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." Every parable he's offered has been an example of what is possible if we can believe that the way things have been don't have to continue that way. And what Jesus makes clear with his tears over Jerusalem is that he has desperately wanted us to play a part in that possibility. Making a new way forward isn't something that is done for us or to us, but that Jesus wants to do with us. And that requires us to trust in the hope he offers, to believe that in response to the fears we hold of others, the lies told all around us and about us, and the hatred that continues to keep us from loving our neighbors as ourselves, the things that have held us back and brought us to where we are, the only choice we have, is to cling to and embody the unwavering and sincere way Jesus loved and cared for the folks around him. To know, as Howard Thurman writes, the first step toward love is a common sharing of a sense of mutual worth and value. This cannot be discovered in a vacuum or in a series of artificial or hypothetical relationships. It has to be in a real situation, natural and free. We can love the folks around us the way Jesus loved those around him. A while back, I went through some old boxes of my childhood possessions and photographs and art from decades past and reams of Upper Deck basketball cards. And in the midst of it all were some notes I jotted down on an old newspaper. One of them said, "I can only love God as much as I love the person I love the least." I thought, that's pretty good. But those aren't my words. I hadn't jotted down a thought I had. Those words come from Dorothy Day. And I have no idea why I wrote them down all those years ago, but they hit me, and I'm glad I did write them down. Because I can't change the past. We can't change the past. We can't bring back those who've been lost to all too common tragedies. We can't right all the wrongs or undo all the pain that swirls around us or even those that we've caused. But I can change tomorrow. I can choose to love the people I love the least a little bit more each day.